All right, roll around the barrel. Vintage Baseball Podcast. It's another Monday. It's spring. It's time for baseball. Talking to vintage baseball players from coast to coast, border to border, right here on the Roll Around the Barrel show. I'm the Barrel Roller. I am joined by my frequent co-host lately, Mr. Jeff Kozlowski from the Greenfield Village La-Di-Da's. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well. Weather's nice. My daughter and I have been tearing down a jungle gym, so we're in a good spot here. Time for some baseball.
It's going to be an upgrade at the jungle gym area at the Kozlowski household, and that will improve cartwheels in the future, I assume.
They don't need improvement. They're very good.
Who we have this week is a couple of gentlemen from the Moriah Hill Yanks, and that's Indiana, just in case you heard Yanks and thought New York right away. That's going to be Indiana, one of the 12 counties that is in the central time zone. We have learned that this evening. We have the captain of the Moriah Hill Yanks, Nate Little, and we also have Evan Yoakum. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Thanks.
You guys all right?
I'm good. Beautiful weather here on Monday.
We're going to talk some vintage baseball with you guys. We as in Jeff and I guess I'm speaking for Jeff for a second, don't know a lot about your club. I don't think that you've been in existence for very long, but let's ask Nate, the captain, tell us about the history of the Moriah Hill Yanks and if there is any prehistory of the Moriah Hill Yanks.
I can give you the history of us now. I'm a newcomer. I'm actually a transplant. My wife and I met in the military. I'm originally from Texas. I moved here about 14 years ago. The team has started back in the 50s.
No, even probably late 30s, early 40s is actually how the, you know, all these small towns here had baseball teams around. And every Sunday, that was the thing. They were going to somebody's ballpark, and they were going to watch a good game. And that went on till about somewhere in the mid-70s, and then kind of vanished as, you know, obviously not everybody's staying in small towns, things like that. So there's a lot of history there, even our little town, for quite a few years.
So what rule set are you guys playing by?
We start off with 1864 rules. A good friend, Greg Simons from the Indianapolis Blues, has been a lot of help for us. We have any kind of questions, any kind of contacts, connections for uniforms, things like that. He kind of introduced us to 1864. We liked it. We played last year with the Bluegrass Barons, and we all our teammates fell in love with the 1869 rules, catching on the fly. But typically we'll play 1864.
Can you speak, and Jeff, maybe you'll be able to speak on this. I'm curious as to what the rule differences are between the 67 that we're used to in our area, fly rule game 67, and the 69 game that you guys are playing occasionally. Can anybody speak on what the differences are?
We're really new to this. This is our third year going into it. We're just now learning the game. We're a brand new team. We're learning everything as we go, getting insight from Greg and other players from different teams. So we mainly know the two.
Jeff, do you know?
You said 67 and 69?
67 is what?
64.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, the big ones there being 64 is bound, 67 would be fly game. And that's, you know, when you take a look at the 67, it gets more into like, dead balls and things of that sort. But, yeah, I mean, 67 to 69, you usually don't hear as much about a team playing, you know, solely a 69 game unless it's got a really strictly regional tie to it there. But, you know, anything from 65 going forward, It's really kind of an introduction to, you know, the fly game, but, go into more, like if you're saying 64, how was that adjustment going from, where you were and your previous baseball knowledge to, the 64 rule set?
When all of us grew up playing baseball, and he actually played baseball in college. I played baseball when I was a kid. I played softball when I was in the Navy. Played limit league softball here, and the biggest adjustment was not being able to use a glove.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that, and to add real quick to that would probably be, so playing a lot of baseball, and obviously rules of now that today's game, but, you know, the bounce. Also, you know, you think a guy's got a good hit, but there's the bounce rule, right? Oh, wait, you got on the one bounce. I got to get back to first. I got to get back to the second. That probably was a lot of us. Took us a little bit to get used to be honest.
You feel like you had to adjust, like, how you hit or your differing types
styles like that? For sure. It actually kind of comes into, you know, we play, a lot of us have played slow pitch softball around here, too, where you learn to slap and different things like that. You know, it's not a, not about hitting the deep ball because, you know, a lot of places there's no fence, right? So, it's placement and everything else comes in, you know, very big, very important.
And also, when you're a big hitter, when you're a big, we'll talk about the softball game. When you're a big power hitter in softball, you're used to going for it, basically. And if you play 64 vintage baseball, going for it is going to be an out. Sluggers have to adjust. It's something that they either do adjust to, or they just hate playing 64 rules, and they like being able to play the fly game so they can let the big dogs eat, so to speak.
It really takes a bite out of your ego. I mean, we're both big guys, and being able to crush it, that's what we like to do, and laying off, it's like a slap to the face to us, but we're learning.
Line drives, guys. You don't have to lay off.
Yeah.
Line drives.
All day. That is for sure.
Basis win games.
Is this the first year of Mariah, or did you have a season last year?
Well, this will be our third year going into. We started 2 years ago, right after COVID. My wife and I went up to French Lick, West Baden Hotel area, and we used to watch some vintage games several years ago. And the second or third time we went, I was talking to a couple of the players there and meeting with some of the members of our city committee. And like, let's see if we can start a theme. And we started asking around, and Evan and I got together and started asking a bunch of people. We tried it out and got in contact with Greg Simons. We had a little event here in last Saturday in September of 22, we were expecting that. If we could have 100 people, we'd be ecstatic, and we doubled that. Last year was our second event, and we had probably closer to 400 people, and we're trying to match that or go bigger and better every year.
Yeah, 400 people, that sounds great.
Well, our town was maybe 400 people, so that's big numbers for us.
The whole town came. It's like a Green Bay Packers football game.
Pretty close.
For sure, yeah.
Have you guys been playing in any, have you gotten the chance to play in any, say, tournaments, weekend tournaments or big events like that?
We did one last year in French Lick, West Baden. They actually opened up the new field where they found the spring training for the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox back in the late 1800s or something.
Early 1900s, whatever, yeah. That was really awesome. I mean, we had the Belleville
Stags
were there.
White River,
Blues. The Blues. There was another. There was 16. Very, you know, 2 day tourney, yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
It was a lot of fun, but
played 1864 rules there.
A lot of fun, but the 2 days straight of playing ball, those older guys aren't used to it. It took a toll on our bodies.
You guys said you've made contact. One of the guys that's helped you so much is Greg Simons from the Indianapolis Blues. We are familiar with Greg. Great guy.
No, good guy.
The Indianapolis Blues have been around for a while. And so you definitely have the right club and right person helping you out. So you won't be disappointed with the outcome of this. You guys are probably, because you've only been exposed to the vintage game for a limited amount of time, you guys are probably still learning the rules. You probably have things come up during a game. You're like, wow, I didn't know. I didn't even know that one existed.
Oh, for sure. We've had even foul balls or things like that where guys have moved it that have probably cost us a few games. And that's, you know, just, again, still learning.
Yeah. Jeff?
It is that patience of hope that that Peter Morris talks about here, this idea of like, yeah, you're going to go through some rough spots and you're going to go through some points where, you know, you wish you had them back, but stick with it. And you'll get there. I mean, every team had some rough spots. I mean, I'm sure there's been some guys on your team that overran first base by accident too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's another rule right there you talk about that took a long time. And then the 90-feet bases too.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a long hike from home.
It's a long hike. Yes, yeah. Yeah, those singles are all right. And doubles and triples get to be a little, you know.
If we could pinch run every other runner, we'd be all right.
Also, being able to run if the ball hits the ground, but the batter is out. I always found that teams that didn't have a lot of experience were not used to that, and they were always playing it too safe on the bases because they always forget, can I run on that or do I have to get back or what's all that? So I played on a 67 team when I started, so I remember when I played in my first couple of 64 games, I was not given the rule set correctly to where they're like, listen, this is what's going to happen and you can't do that. And you just have to experience it and to get thrown out a couple of times. And then you learn. Yeah. That's how you learn, is you get embarrassed. And
especially when you get, like, you know, the different subset years within the bound rule area, like you, or the era, like you get like a 64 set versus 1858, where, you know, if it's caught on the fly, you get a free return. So it behooves you to just start running. And if they catch it on the fly, it's a free return. So there's so weird kind of nuances out here from a non-baseball side. What has been either growing pains or the things that you came upon that you all went, God, I never would have thought about this.
I mean, everything's so brand new to us. We're still trying to hone in on things, but getting to know the different years and the different rules for different years, that's probably the hardest thing for us. We just know from what we're told. We didn't do a lot of research into it. We're just basing our fundamentals on what the others have passed on to us.
Nate, can you describe to everybody what your uniforms look like?
They're pretty basic. I got them from a gentleman named Matt. He's over in Connecticut. They're just like almost like a woolish off white with our MH logo right here on the chest piece, with the blouse pants and maroon socks. But since we're not actually part of the VBBA organization, we don't go by every single rule out of the uniform, so we actually play in ball caps instead of the standard vintage hat.
And if you are interested in finding information out about the Mariah Hill Yanks, you can find them on Facebook. Any other social media you guys are on?
No, that is it for right now. My wife actually started that last year after Nate the first year, we realized, wow, okay, people are very interested. People like this. It's been, you know, almost 250 people the very first time. So my wife has made a Facebook page, and it's been insane. That's not the right word to say. It's been amazing to see people, you know, how many people have followed or, you know, love to see what we're doing. You know, what is that all about? You know, even little kids coming to check us out, you know.
Can you go into like that first game or that feeling with the first time you put that uniform on and you see eight other guys or nine other guys wearing that same uniform and a couple of hundred people that actually decided this is what I want to do with my weekend here? Like, what is the feeling amongst you and the team when the whole thing comes together?
When you see, for our first time ever gathering, it was against the Blues actually at home. For an event, I might be speaking for him, maybe not, but my stomach was in knots for 2 days. I was nervous. I just wanted to put on a good show and put on something that people would actually enjoy and be willing to come back and see, hoping that we were playing by the rules properly. And once we started, especially after the first inning, it was just all downhill. We all fell in love with the game. It was pretty simple to learn. We had great role models for us. And it was just a lot of fun. After the first inning jitter was over, we were hooked.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that, I mean, I would say the same thing. Definitely nerves. You can tell that on the whole team, there were nerves there for sure. Just, you know, but I'd say a lot of pride with the guys. One thing cool about our team too, like Nate said, there's 400 people. Every one of us though lives in this small town. So our team's not, you know, it's not spread out to, you know, hey, the couple of neighboring, which is kind of cool. And, you know, me and I got to play with both my brothers on the team. We have another guy with his brother. Some cousins that are all on the team. So that's what's, you know, and I had a grandpa and another, the Goals had one on there as well. Their grandpa played back when the Yankees were here in Bryant Hill. So, you know, it's kind of cool to have some of that history come back around a little bit. Not obviously a different game, but still very cool.
And to hear the stories from some of the older people in town, I said, you know what, we're so glad that you did this, because I remember watching my dad or my grandpa back in, you know, the 50s and 60s, and being able to relive that for them, that really means a lot to us that they can relive that.
Yeah, if you get community backing between behind a vintage baseball club, it's an amazing situation where you get not only you get so many people coming out to the games, but you get help from the businesses. Everybody feels like they're part of it, even in a small way. So a small community vintage baseball club is a really special thing. Jeff, you don't understand that because you guys are the Goliaths of Michigan. So sorry.
We're the big box of vintage baseball.
you are backed by the Henry Ford Museum and not by Bob's Tool Shop down the road, and it's a completely different thing.
Not that there's anything wrong with Bob's Tool Shop. We really enjoy supporting
there isn't.
Them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm actually saying it's quite the community strength behind a situation like this is really fun.
We're just corporate vintage baseball.
There's no we. What do you got, a French mouse in your pocket? We. There's no we.
Oh, come on. I'm one of you.
You are. I don't know if you guys have heard of the World's Tournament at Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan.
But I've heard some stories about it.
But that's where Jeff is located. They have quite the setup there. They have a vintage baseball program that runs every weekend at the Henry Ford Museum. So they have something that not, and you guys have crowds for your game. Here in Michigan, not so much crowds for the smaller teams, but you can go play at Greenfield Village where there's always a crowd of people every Saturday and Sunday throughout the summer. And it's different, and you guys can probably attest to this because nobody goes to watch softball games. So answer this question. When you got 400 people and you're going up to the plate, it's a completely different situation than when you're in a softball game and it's just the wives and the bleachers. Is it not a different feeling?
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
The nerves.
Just playing as nobody strikes out.
They will, though. You get one a year. You get one a year, that poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you see your club in 5 years?
Well, I hope to have all the same players. We have a couple of guys that are a little bit older. I think the average age is probably about 35 to 40. We have a few over 50, and we got a few in their 20s. We have his kids and my kids, other teammates' kids that are just chomping at the bit to want to be a Yank. And we're hoping in the next 5 years, hopefully we'll be able to bring in some of the youngsters if they're old enough and smart enough to get out of the way if the ball's hit directly at them. Maybe take over for one or two of us that are getting winged too much.
Yeah, I definitely say I don't see it going anywhere. I mean, I don't know that will we ever be a team that's going to play 30, 40 games a summer? Probably not. We just can't do that with our, you know, with our kids and sports and everything else we got going on. But I can see us, you know, like I said, Prince Luke was something. I know talked about going to St. Louis. He talked about going, you know, to the Field of Dreams, playing out there. I mean, I wouldn't say anything like that's ever out of the, you know. Definitely would look forward to doing anything like that in the future for sure.
What do you guys got on your schedule for this year?
Our first game is on August 3rd, and we're playing in Lexington against the Bluegrass Barons. September 14th and 15th, we'll be back at West Baden to play that tournament. And our last scheduled event is September 28th at our field here in Mariah Hill.
So you only have three dates on your schedule. Is there anybody on your club that has taken to this so much that they're traveling and filling in just to get that? Nobody right now?
Not yet.
We'll get some phone calls from a couple of the clubs. Hey, we're shy players. Do you have anybody that can fill in? We did it a couple of years ago at the Strassen Fest in Jasper. Myself and two other guys filled in for White River. That was the first game we ever actually played, just the three of us. We only played for like five innings. Then I had to go, and they stuck around for a while. But if anybody else needs help, we'll fill in if we can.
For those who are not as geographically inclined, can you fill in like where exactly in Indiana? You're talking about going to Lexington, and like how far a drive are some of these things, or how far would you travel or be willing to travel?
So Lexington, Kentucky, you know, where we're at, we're looking at about 2.5 hour drive there. French Lick is about, I'd say 45 minutes north of us. You know, if we go to like Belleville, St. Louis area, you know, you're looking at about 3 hour drive west. But I mean, like I said, we've all talked about like Iowa, hopefully in the future. I mean, so I wouldn't really,
we wouldn't rule anything out.
I
mean, it's just,
I don't know. I'd say that might be as far west, but it just, you know, it has to be the right thing. I'd say, you know, everybody be on board. We don't want to go up there with only half the team or something, you know.
Are the Black Flags of Droverton, is that Indiana?
I've never heard of it.
I'm not sure.
Jeff, is that Indiana or Illinois?
That's Indiana. Yeah, that's northern Indiana.
So there's a club. Drovertown. There's a club that we're very familiar with. They travel well. They'll play 64, but I think their main focus is 67 fly game. They're from Droverton, Indiana. Some of them used to be a team in Huntington. I believe they're an offshoot of the old Huntington team. But they travel. They do not have a home field. And they actually travel to Michigan. They've traveled to, I think they're going to play in Silver Ball last year. They skipped the Worlds and went to Silver Ball last year, I believe. And that would be my advice to you would be to look those gentlemen up. And they are, for one, they're competitive. So you get that situation. And they're a team that's been around for a while and could really help you out in certain areas. How to bridge that, how to walk that tightrope of being a vintage baseball club and still being able to be competitive, and how do you walk that line? They walk that line beautifully, and you'd really do. Dennis Wegman is the captain of the Black Flag. So just some advice. Maybe look them up, and maybe in the future they could help you out by coming down for a game.
I'll hit them up. I'll look them up on Facebook or on look some through my other contacts if anybody's got any information for them.
Yeah, they got a Bookface page. I know that.
A Bookface.
Bookface. They're all over the social medias. Yeah, and they're very good players. And they're a team that should have won Worlds a couple of times and didn't. So good enough to win Worlds a couple of times. The World. The is it Worlds or World, Jeff? World Tournament?
It is the World Tournament. It is not Worlds. Okay, that's like, I hate that. It is not Worlds. Not a softball tournament. It is the World Tournament of baseball.
When I say Worlds, I'm thinking of it belongs to the world. It's the
everybody
Worlds.
Calls it.
Is everybody using the same rationale that I'm using? I believe it belongs to the world, so it's
no.
The Worlds. Okay.
Yeah. Then everybody else can help clean it up when it's done then.
Is that always up in Michigan every year is where that's at? Or?
Yeah, the World Tournament's the second weekend in August. It's at Greenfield Village. It is just outside of Detroit. So that's our big time tournaments.
How many teams?
12. Wow. Yeah. We got two fields, 12 teams. We've had, you know, teams from New York. We've had teams from Maryland. We've had the Oregon Ganymedes out of Illinois is about as far west as we've had. But Belleville has come, not to the World Tournament, but the Belleville Stags have been, they've come to just for a regular season game. They were on kind of a Eastern Midwest swing. So I'm familiar with them and with Paul. They're good people out there.
Yeah.
How many games do you see your guys like adding to your schedule? Like for like a regular season, what would be the optimum number, or is three the optimum number where you're at now?
Well, last year we did four or five.
So we talk, you know, you hear that three weekends, but so like next year we'll play a doubleheader. And then you're guaranteed four games in at West Baden. And then we're going to play for sure two at home. But going forward, I think we'd all be okay, especially if we got to, you know, maybe, you know,
five or six would be optimal. I mean, I wouldn't say any more than probably five events. Like you said, all of our kids are a little younger. They're in rec league sports or in travel sports. Some of us are their coaches, and it would be just really hard for us to get all the team together and to do too many events.
Plus, when you keep the number low, you don't have to worry about attendance from the players because every event is going to then feel special. You throw a schedule together with 20 games on it, then you get people start missing, not only because there's obligations, family obligations, but sometimes they feel like, oh my God, we have 20 games. I can miss this one. That causes all kinds of problems. So when you start out, you're starting out the opposite that most teams start out. Most teams are like, hey, we're new. We love this. 30 games. And it causes all kinds of problems. You guys are starting out small. You are content with it staying small. And it'll stay special that way. That makes perfect sense to me. Have either of you guys incurred some sort of injury in the vintage game yet from not being able to adjust?
I have. our very first event 2 years ago, I broke my ankle in the top of the second inning. It was our very first event, and I get to watch it from the dugout with a nice back on my ankle. So.
No, but other than that, we've been very fortunate. Now, we've had some injuries and things that have happened, but, you know, for overall, guys have been able to stay pretty healthy.
We just had a post go out on our Facebook group page today or yesterday by one of our guys that said, bent fingers unite. So everybody was posting a picture of their bent finger they got from Vintage Baseball. And it was amazing how many people were posting their fingers. A lot of pinkies. I noticed a lot of pinkies. So that was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a while getting used to having some soft hands catching the ball without a glove when you've had a glove your whole life. It's even though it's not like a traditional baseball, it definitely takes getting used to.
Did you guys ever find that was discouraging? Like, when you explain to new people, like, yeah, it's baseball. The ball isn't much different, but no gloves. Like, how did people respond to that?
Oh, I mean, I've had plenty of people. What? Are you nuts?
Yeah, I think we're crazy. but really, truly, and a lot of the guys on the team, that they said, I'll come and try it out a couple of practices before I even make a decision to commit to be a part of the team. I mean, we're not trying to, you know, knock it out of the park every at bat, but we hit it with enough pop to they can feel it. And like, well, that's not that bad. If you, especially if you play it off a hop, if you play on the infield, if you play it right, time it right, and have your hands in the right spot, so it's not going to hit you in the face, it's not that bad. If it stings for a little while, then it goes numb, and you could have leather hands, and you just kind of stop feeling it.
I like how there is this, like, when you were talking about your schedule, that, like, a lot of teams, they call them games, and you guys called them events. And I found that to be very, like, it's almost refreshing, I would say, you know, to hear how you guys speak to that as an event, almost as though it's, you know, the game is kind of supplemental to something bigger. Can you go into, like, what does an event look like? Is it just a game, or what else goes on at these types of events you're talking about?
So like when we have our events here in town, I mean, the last 2 years we've had two different food trucks, even the concession stand open with popcorn and you know, popsicles for the kids, live music, a beer garden, kind of just anything, you know. Well, even last year we invited all the teams, all the local teams, they wore their jerseys and stuff in between games. They got to get on the field with us, you know, kind of get a feel, see what bats we're using, what balls. So you're really getting the whole community involved in some way.
And everywhere we go, we like to have a good time. So a one game, we typically won't play just one game a day. It's usually two, and we'll have a good time after the games are over. So we would come. That's it. We'll bring some coolers and the trip on.
Can I ask, what is the team drink of choice?
Typically some Busch Lights.
Nice.
America.
Yeah, most people probably say what, but yeah, that's like water to us around here.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on. We really enjoyed getting to know a new club that I never heard of before until I found you on social media. See, that's what social media does. And Jeff, had you ever heard of the Mariah Hill Yanks before today?
I had not, but I'm glad that I did. You know, us Midwest vintage baseball players, you know, we always have that nice little unification, especially when we talk about how far away things are in minutes and not miles. That is true to the core right there. So it's always good to know, you know, the game is growing and not shrinking. And I really like that idea of, you know, thinking of a game as an event that we're kind of supplemental to a greater good. And that's, does my heart good.
So, Nate and Evan, Nate Little, Evan Yoakum, stick on the recording for a second as, I make a proper goodbye to the world, and then we'll properly say goodbye to you like gentlemen. Thanks everybody for listening to this week's show, the Mariah Hill Yanks. We're here in season 5. We've got almost 250 episodes. Go back in the archives. Listen, look for the names, look for the teams, look for the subject matter, and you will find something interesting about vintage baseball. And I'm going to tell these two fine gentlemen right here to go back and look at our Greg Simons interview that's in there. Because that's it.
I listened to that one.
Oh, a fan, hey, Jeff.
Well, you sent me that link. I downloaded the app and I listened to that one.
Wonderful. So, thanks to
season
these guys.
Two, for anybody else who's not sure, it's season 2.
What are you doing? You knew that off the
top. I made a spreadsheet. You'd know that if you looked at it.
I apologize. Thank you for your efforts. We'll see you next week, everybody. Good luck playing. It's time to play baseball.